Good morning to you that have joined us on this January the 19th in the year of our Lord 2020. Boy, that don't come off my tongue easy there, I have to tell you. It comes kind of hard there, but anyhow, that's what we're going to be talking about today. How do you help folks when they're suffering? Is there a special way you can do it? Is there a formula for it? What kind of suffering are we talking about? Well, God expects us to stand up for those who suffer, who can't help themselves. Unborn babies. Man, I don't understand anybody saying it's all right to murder a baby that's not born and can't help itself. I don't understand that.
I guess the word.
I mean, even animals most times don't do that. How can we understand that? Old people. Now, that's coming. It's coming. And we're good candidates here at the table.
Hush. Don't tell anybody.
Don't know about that.
Don't tip anybody off on that.
Well, they may send a wagon and we'll get
all encouraged at the same time.
but that's coming. And it is happening in one sense. Old people are mistreated and old people don't get fairness and justice. Then, of course, there's the disabled people. People that have, I think about the wounded warriors, and I don't understand why some of them wind up homeless and some of them wind up with no help for them, no way to get them help. They've fought.
They got to be on total disability.
But the sad thing of it is they can't get, you know, I see one daddy helping his son out on television. You can tell the boy's been brain damaged and got that in a war. And what do you do? How can you help those kind of folk? Of course, you got some that are listening to us. You got some around your place. They're at home or down the road or in a neighbor that you wish there was something you can do. Well, God expects us to stand up and to do whatever we can on their behalf, those that are suffering unjust treatment. Then the scripture that we're going to study today tells us of the prophet Isaiah prophesying to the southern kingdom of Judah. You know how I keep the southern kingdom of Judah separated from the northern kingdom? Israel, the I comes before J.
Yeah.
I remember it, I think, coming down the Mount. Israel's up here and Judah's on the bottom. So anyhow, but I'm not going to go into how God's people got split up into two different nations there, but that's an interesting study in itself. But Isaiah has been called to prophesy and to preach to the southern kingdom, and he's trying to remind them of the things that's happened to the northern kingdom as a result of their rebelling against God. And in today's lesson, we're going to find Isaiah's trying to call the people back to God. And that's our job as preachers, and your job out there, if you're a preacher listening to us, we need to call people, first of all, I guess, to God, so that they may be saved, and then if they wandered away, call them back to God. But we're going to be studying Isaiah 58, 3 through 11. How can God use me when others suffer? Let's tell them who we are, Brother Mike.
Mike Hall, New Salem Baptist Church Reform.
Brandon Pinion, pastor of Moore's Bridge in, I don't know where we are. We're in the country. We country.
They're a good church, so I'll tell you that. I got a good pastor, Brother Brandon.
Amen.
Brother Leonard.
Leonard Hill, I pastored Cold Fire Baptist Church on the old Highway 82 outside Reform.
Okay. I'm Herschel Owens, and I pastor at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Gordo, Alabama. So, we're going to have prayer, and who did I call on to pray last week? All right, well, we're going to go around the table this week to you, Brother Pinion.
Thank you, our Father, for the opportunity always of studying a portion of the Word of God. I know, our Father, we're inadequate for it, that I pray the Spirit of God will lead us and guide us and strengthen us.
Yes.
So that we would dare not mislead anyone who listens.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But that we would present the truth.
Amen.
And that individuals would respond to it because of the leadership of your love.
Yes.
And the guidance of your grace.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for these men and for the time that they donate to study the word here together and to present it to those who are listening now. May our Father, you touch the hearts of those that might be lost, that they'll be saved.
Yes, Lord.
And that we'll say something that will draw them into the grace of God and into the forgiving love that only Jesus can provide for them. Thank you again for this opportunity in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, here's what we're going to try to do, and we'll go 14 other ways, but we're going to talk about the going through the motions religion. I just don't like religion. I'm not religious.
I don't like religion either.
No.
Well, how about you?
You know what? It's a curse on the land. How about that?
That sounds like a prophet. But anyhow, we'll tell you why. Some of y'all are shocked out of your shoes for what we've said, but there's a good reason. Going through the motions, religion, God's response concerning true righteousness and the great power of true righteousness. Brother Mike Hall, read us some scripture.
All right, in Isaiah chapter 58, we'll start reading in verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, that thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?
Well, now they're getting pretty plain there.
Is it, you call this a fast?
Yeah.
He's getting down and dirty.
You think this mess is acceptable to the Lord? Woo.
So he's talking.
Watch out, Isaiah.
He's talking in vanilla language.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like
straight from a gun barrel.
That's right. Like a Parsonhurst that used to be on the radio.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm a happy Christian.
Me too. That's exactly that. Well, anyhow, we hope you would join us and pray for us and study with us. The going through the motions religion. Isaiah is aware that he faces a tough job. In Isaiah 6, 8 through 10, it says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and convert, and be healed." How would you, Brother Pinion, like to, when God called you, said, "Look, I'm going to send you to this group of people, but you ain't going to have no success over there. They ain't going to listen to you. They ain't going to hear what you say. They ain't going to see the danger they're in. They're not going to see the awfulness of the lostness. But I want you to go." And then on down below these verses, he said, "Lord, how long?" And he said, until the rivers dry up.
That's right. But now if you go back to the beginning of Isaiah, Isaiah preached, the Bible says, 20 years naked with no response. Now, I mean, I can't imagine preaching any time naked.
No.
But now, that's what the book says. And I had a preacher one time just arguing me down. that it didn't mean that.
Yeah.
But I just believe what it said.
Well, you ain't got no other explanation.
That's right.
No, he had another explanation. One. Yeah, uh-huh. but it wasn't that. It wasn't. No, he didn't do that. No, wouldn't dare do that.
Well, okay.
If the Bible says it, and now somebody said, if the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settled it. But I got it.
It's settled for you believe it or not.
That's exactly right. The Bible said it, and that settled it.
That's it.
So don't even try to figure it out how it ought to be different. But I do know this. I know Isaiah loved his people. I just talked to Mike about when God called him to go. He said, when you go, you ain't going to have success.
Yeah.
Them folks ain't going to listen to you.
Yeah.
Ain't going to hear what you say.
That's exactly what they were going to tell you. Oh, yeah.
And they ain't going to change.
You know what? I always love when Satan tell me that stuff. I enjoy that. You know why? Because I know Satan's telling me exactly the opposite of what God's telling me. And if that's the truth, then you know what that means? God's telling me, them folks going to listen. They're going to come and they're going to, you know. So, hey, go on, devil, tell me.
And only a few of them do.
That's
only
what I'm talking about. Listen, that's what I, yeah.
Only one.
Hallelujah, if one soul is saved. My goodness.
It's worth it all.
That's shouting, yeah. Right?
Keep on telling me.
That's right. Are you going to preach naked next Sunday?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll wear a toe sack. How about that? How about that sackcloth was like a... Like wearing a toe sack. You know
he
what a toe
told
sack
me
is.
That.
No, I mean neither.
I know what a toe sack is.
Yeah.
That's what we used to get mule feed in.
That's right, old rough cloth. Mm-hmm. Most folks today call it burlap.
Mm-hmm. But we call it a toe sack.
When I was a kid, that's a toe sack.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But either
still
way,
a toe still sack. Toe sack.
It is. So, go. But these folks... Now, if you ask them what they were doing and how it was going, they were going through the motions. Look at this thing. Why? They said, we fasted.
Didn't you see it?
Yeah.
Didn't you see us fasting? I mean, we afflicted our soul and you didn't pay no attention?
What is fasting? Is it any difference in being on that, whatever that diet is that folks are on?
Well, I don't know. I call it starvation, but... Some of them, they call it neutral system and everything else. But
is fasting?
I was just going to ask you that question. I know what fasting is as far as doing without. It can be, Brandon has all kind of health problems,
mm-hmm.
and he has to deal with. Could he fast?
Sure, he could fast, but fasting is not just the thing of not putting food in.
That's right.
I think fasting is... I'm concerned about Brandon. And in the right times, I don't think I'd even want to eat, period, because I'd be praying for him, and
Well, I think true fasting is going to... I'm going to take Leonard, for example. He spends a lot of time in his study.
Mm-hmm.
Eating. Oh,
no,
I'm sorry.
No. He don't have much out there, I don't think. I haven't been out there.
You go ahead.
But I don't believe he does. But he gets so involved in the Word of God that he forgets to eat.
Yeah.
Now, that's true fasting.
Yeah, I think that's exactly.
And the true fasting is the only thing that's going to count anyway. I mean, I love the program that the convention has now come up with of 40 days of fasting.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it all is. I've read it, but I didn't take any notice of it right quickly to the point that I was going to try it. I just believe that's not really true fasting.
I don't believe if I walk around with a sign in my hand and say, everybody look, I'm fasting. No. The Bible makes it clear that when you fast,
don't let anybody know.
Mm-hmm. No. If they pick up on it, they'll have to be very observant, because we're not supposed to advertise our righteousness and our going through the motions religion.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes, I don't know about anybody else, all I know about is me. There's been times when I have fasted for 2 or 3 days.
Right.
And the only thing I drink is water, some kind of liquid. And that's it. But I had a specific purpose in mind when I did.
Well, did you put it in the church bulletin that you got?
I didn't put it anywhere. I didn't tell my wife. I didn't tell anybody.
That's fasting.
That I was doing that, but I was doing it for a specific reason, and not just a random fasting.
Yeah.
Well, recently my granddaughter has been diagnosed with Crohn's disease, and then she also has terrible headaches. During this time, I lost 36 pounds of weight. I didn't do it to show off. I didn't do it saying I'm going to lose weight. I did it because I had such a burden.
And you had a purpose.
That's right. A burden, and I presented it to God that this is my purpose. And I must tell you, it still hasn't come to pass yet. She is better with the Crohn's disease. The headaches are still bad. She's not been able to go to school for this last 7 weeks of school. And we don't know what the future holds. But I don't think anything you advertise or you get folks to sign up to do publicly as a demonstration of your righteousness is fasting.
Have you ever called your church to a fast? I have done it one time in my life, and only once, and I would do it again if I felt the same way then.
Now you felt led to.
But we were in a mess. Y'all know the situation.
Oh, yeah.
We had a quarter of an acre of land and a little corner shaped more like a diamond than it was a square. And anyway, it was in a mess. And the church was trying to grow, needing to grow, and we needed a little...
Well, you were growing, but you didn't have a place to put it.
Didn't have nowhere to put it. And I didn't know what to do. I honestly didn't. I had prayed diligently, obviously, about it, and had gone and talked to the landowners around us, and there was nothing. I mean, the main landowner that surrounded us, he said, there is nothing I can do. All this land is tied up in heirs, and when really it was in his name.
Right.
But, you know, there was 13 of the kids, and him included, so it was 12 others. But I knew he could do it, you know, but he just wasn't going to. So I told him, I said, well, I understand. I went to him a second time, and that second time was the same way. So I said, God, what do we do? What do we do? You know, because you're sitting there and you need to grow. You need some property. You need some. You can't build. So anyway, all of that done, I just prayed. I diligently prayed. And I just felt like the Lord led me to do that. So I just told the church, I said, we're gonna have a fast just for 24 hours, just one day. And I said, now I know some of you is diabetic and other health problems.
Sure.
I'm not calling you to do without food unless that's what God leads you to do. Personally, I did. I was young and healthy and all that, and no problem. But I said, we're going to start it at 6 o'clock on Saturday, and then at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, we'll break the fast with a meal. And I said, I don't want you telling nobody, talking to nobody. I said, just if you feel led to
do
this.
It.
And we all gathered at the altar, and I said, now I want you each one to pray individually to the Lord about whether or not you feel led to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one fellow that said he didn't, and I said, that's fine,
sure.
No problem. Everybody else did, and so I said, I tell you what, I don't want you to pray now. Lord, give us some land. I said, I want you to pray, Lord, whatever your will is in regard to this, show it to us. That's all I want you to do. Because once the Lord showed it to us, then the rest would fall in place. So anyway, we did, and they went, and so on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock, we prayed together, and we performed our fast from 6 o'clock Saturday evening, and then Sunday night, when we come together for our evening worship, we prayed and we had a meal. And I want you to know that man called me that next morning and he said, I can't eat, I can't sleep. He said, would you please meet me over at church and just show me what you want to do? And well, I said, so I knew then, you know.
You had a breakthrough.
That's right. And I really felt like that, I know it's an extreme thing, but I really felt like that was what God was saying. I want my people to come together in one accord. I want them to really commit themselves. And this, to me, is what that meant.
Yes,
it meant a genuine commitment. Amen. Some of them did do without food. Some of them said, well, I'm going to do without, you know, something that they, like television was one thing. Mm-hmm. And you know how hard it is for some folk to do without television mm-hmm. nowadays, me included. But, you know, they would make different commitments. But every one of them, like I said, except one. And all of that said, they were together. I'm talking about, son, they were lockstep with one another. Mm-hmm. And that was what I really believe. That was from the perspective of the pastor. That's what I saw. And I really believe God was calling them, because from that day forward, and that's been, goodness, many, many years ago now, they have been constantly in lockstep. We built the land, obviously, was no problem at that point. The fellow said, show me what you want. He didn't sell it to us. He gave it to us. Yeah. He said, all I want you to do is pay for having the deeds done. So, anyway, all that said, we built a family life center. We built a sanctuary. And you know, guys, as pastors, what problems that can be. We have not had one single fuss or disagreement in any way, shape, or form through all of that building program. And I know the roots of it goes all the way back to that. Yeah. Because it wasn't the fact that they fasted as much as it was the fact that they came together in one accord, agreed together, that we trust God in this. And they have been, and still today, they'll tell you right quick what an important milestone that was for them.
Amen.
So I believe strongly in the fasting. But if you do it for a show, listen, you just, not only are you wasting your time, but you're embarrassing God, you're insulting the church, and it's deadly wrong.
Y'all did it for a purpose.
We did it for a purpose, a singular purpose. And all we were doing was seeking God's will. We were not telling God, we want land or we want a building. We were saying, God, you just show us. And boy, did he show us. And he showed us every step of the way, every
fact is, he's still showing.
He's still showing.
Well, what you've said is what I believe real fast. It is. It is not just the giving up of something.
That's right.
It is the wanting something and the desiring God's will and only for God. I think if I said, I'm going to fast to get me a new Cadillac, I think God ought to just wear me out with a peach tree limb like Mama used to, but this was for God.
But he ought to give you a skateboard. What he ought to do?
That'd be good.
Yeah.
But anyhow, this is what religion. I think let's explain this thing about the religion, because they some of them said that boy said they. They hated religion. They don't like religion. There must be something wrong with them.
Well, religion is man's effort to reach God. Mm-hmm. And Christianity is God's effort to reach man. He reaches down. Man reaches up in religion to try to reach God with their good works and various sundry other things. And so that's the main difference between.
It is.
And that's the reason I said I don't like religion.
Me either.
I don't like people trying to reach God on their own.
Satan's even got a religion.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure.
There's churches that worship him. Yeah. And so
sure.
That's religion to them. Yeah. And so... Yeah. The Ku Klux Klan used to have a religion. So there was a...
They have a worship service.
Yeah, a worship service. So, but in all of that, to me, it's a relationship.
That's what it is.
It's got to be that if you don't have a relationship with Christ, it doesn't make any difference how many times you go to church or how much you put in the plate. It doesn't
how much
make
any faster difference. Than
you. And, you know, it's about knowing God. I like to say that I know 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 that I'm going to heaven.
That's right, absolutely.
And you got to be that sure.
That's yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Well,
you better be that sure.
You can take that same illustration of that fast that we did.
Yeah.
You know, and say, okay, there's been times that I've thought about it again, but I've never felt led to do it
right.
again.
That's right.
But I could have looked at that and said, okay, well, that's what it was. All right, I did
it
that.
It worked.
So let's do it every 3 months.
That's the gimmick.
That's right. Yeah, that's the little trick, gimmick. Boy. God responded, so that's the little trick. Mm-hmm. So, and we could have made a religion out of that, do it every fifth Sunday, Don't do that. That's wrong. And I believe God would have chastised us had we made a religion out of the fasting.
He would have taken away rather than given.
Because it would have taken the focus off of God and put it on the fast or put it on the ritual or put it on the whatever. Religion, just like anything else, takes the focus off of God and puts it on the human being. It's something I've done.
Right.
It's something I've done, not what God's done. Listen, it ain't about you, brother. And if you think it is, you better forget it real quick.
That's exactly right. Yeah, religion is not... God hates that kind of religion, too. He likes us to become humble and dependent on Him and serve Him and worship Him and glorify Him. Now, that is Christianity. And that's the relationship. So we don't include Christianity in the religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's like one of you just said, it's a relationship with God. But Judah was half-heartedly serving God. That's the reason they say, well, look, God, and to the people too, look, didn't you see us fasting? That ain't serving God. That Nutri-System or what you say?
Oh, that, yeah, Weight Watchers or something.
Yeah.
That's trying to make God owe you something.
Right.
Well, I afflicted my soul. I mean, I fasted and I done without and I suffered. So, God, you owe it to me to pay attention and do what I ask you for. I don't care what you do. God don't owe you anything.
No.
He never will.
And no way you can. And behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. They weren't doing it because they wanted God to be glorified and wanted God to do it, whatever would be satisfying and pleasing to Him. They argued. Verse 4 said they fast for strife and debate and smite one another with a fist. How'd you like to get in a church?
I don't want
like
to.
I went to the altar and got in a fist fight.
No.
Getting an argument.
Did an argument over. No, sir.
So listen, God wants us to have a relationship, but He hates going through the motions and just doing it so somebody will pay attention to you and somebody will say how great you are. And somebody will say how quote religious you are. We're not religious. We are indeed a people of righteousness, not our own, but we've been given it by the blood of Jesus.
Absolutely,
we've been made. He imputed to us righteousness.
Well, you look at even the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says of the Holy Spirit, it's His one and only purpose. To point people to God. Now, I know the Holy Spirit is a whole lot closer to God today because He is a God. He is God.
Part of the Trinity.
He is God. He is a part of the Trinity. But yet, you know, He doesn't call attention to Himself. That's what bothers me when folks start praying to the Holy Ghost and doing all this stuff. Man, come on now. You're losing focus. Even the Holy Ghost is embarrassed by that.
He does not.
He directs you to God. He directs you to the Father.
Always.
That's where Satan got in trouble.
That's right.
Because Satan was the protector of God's glory.
Right.
And then he decided he wanted it for himself. That's when he got kicked out. So we got to remember that.
Well, that's what Jesus even says, that He will not speak of Himself.
He will not. He will not speak
about himself. He will not talk about himself.
No.
Well, let me show you what we do, though. Sometimes there's a church over yonder in Hala, up yonder in New York or in California, and all of a sudden they're adding hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and we say, well, what are they doing? Then we say, well, we're going to imitate that.
I'm going to go over and do that, too.
Yeah, that'll give us all that additions to the church money in our pockets and what have you. God doesn't work that way. He's not obligated to us.
That's right. It's kind of like I read recently about a guy that said that the way to grow a church is to go out in the community and says, what are your needs? What can we do to help you to get you to come to our church?
Right.
And so that's building a religion.
Yeah.
It is.
But when you preach Jesus, that's all you got to do.
Yeah.
And whether they come or whether they reject, that's not up to you.
No.
That's not up to me.
No.
That's up to God.
But it's our responsibility to go.
Yeah.
It certainly is.
It's our responsibility to go. It's our responsibility just to present Jesus.
But the
not
success
what can
is,
we get you to do to come.
But the success is not ours. Yeah.
It's the glory of God.
That's right. Here's what we do in our church. We're going to preach the Word of God. We're going to sing gospel hymns.
Amen.
And we're going to fellowship. We're going to love on you. We're going to do that.
Help you all we can in the name of God. That's right.
Yeah. God's have to do the rest of it. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you know, I'm in a situation now, and I'm thankful. And I praise God for it. I went there with about seven or eight folks there. And June and I discussed it. I said, we're going to preach and teach and love the ones that come.
Yes, they are.
Whoever they are.
That's right.
And yesterday morning we had about 45, 50 folks. With the rain the muck.
Yeah.
And everything that
That's
was going
good.
On.
What
see?
A blessing.
And I thought, dear God, and I told him, I said, listen, I am so thankful for this church and for all of you.
Amen.
For coming in weather like this and worshiping the Lord. That's
right.
What we're there for.
Amen.
No other purpose is to worship the Lord and to serve Him. And I mean, it's just been a real thrill.
Amen.
Real
Amen.
Thrill.
Yes, it is.
It is no secret what God can do, but it is a very obvious thing what we can't do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What
absolutely.
We can't do. So they were going through the motions. A lot of churches, a lot of individuals are going through the motions. I believe if the Holy Spirit moves you to shout, you ought to shout. Yes, I'm a Baptist, and I believe it. But I believe this thing of saying, you hold my baby, I think I'm going to shout right now.
I've said to our folks so many times that they're accusing me of being half Pentecostal.
Well, they ought to be.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, there's not but three kinds of Baptists.
Yeah.
There's the doubting, the shouting, and the pouting.
I like that.
That's the only kind of Baptist you got. Yeah, you know.
So where are you listening to? Where you fit? Now, you don't have to be a Baptist. Some of you are nice Christian Methodist people and other things,
yeah.
Church of
Amen.
God and Assembly of God. And
yeah.
So we're not just preaching the
That's right.
Baptist. We're preaching the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And if you know Him as your personal Savior, and you walk with Him, we don't care what you call yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
You just serve Him, walk with Him, and leave this going through the motion religion and this show-off religion. You leave it alone. All right, Brother Mike, we're going to have to move on to that other thing. God's response concerning true righteousness.
It comes from chapter 58. We'll start reading in verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? when thou seest the naked, and thou coverest him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh.
So, okay, what is God's response? What is God's purpose of God's true fasting, and how does it relate? We've already, I think, wore that out already. But our worshiping, our serving God, how does it contrast, and what is the effect of it?
Well, I think Mike brought out one point a while ago when he was talking about them, him under the leadership of the Lord.
Right.
Now, without the leadership of the Lord, it wasn't a work.
It wasn't, no.
But with the leadership of the Lord, he declared a fast.
Yep.
And the people joined in.
Right.
Because heretofore, they had been wringing their hands,
right,
wondering, what in the world are we going to do now? What is the next move we make?
Right.
And worrying and fretting and having having a little old fit.
Burden.
About what we going to do. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do?
Right.
But until that fast was declared.
Exactly.
They didn't have any answers whatsoever as to the future.
There was no answer.
But you know, yeah. Here's the thing, and that's a good point. I'm believing that God puts pastors in places for a reason. Somebody has to hear the Lord. And we're not smart enough, and I've told churches this, and they look at me like I'm an idiot, but we're not smart enough to run God's church.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't care who you are. Absolutely. You're not smart enough. You don't know how to run God's church. And so Brother Mike got a word from God.
Amen.
Got a word from God. And when he gets a word from God, he will share that word with people that are willing to hear that word.
That's right.
And then when they respond, then God gets in the middle of it.
Step out there on faith and declare it and go for it.
It's not common for a Baptist church to fast.
Oh, it's not at all common.
Uncommon, in fact.
It is. It's not very common much for most church.
We meet neat.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Meet neat.
We meet neat, yeah.
Yeah, they do that anyway. That's the only time they ever have and probably the only time they ever will.
Well, unless God tells us to again. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, God don't have to tell them to eat, though.
No.
See, that's it. They just eat.
No, I tell them it's hard to fuss with your mouth full, so let's eat.
I remember when Mike would come to our pastor's breakfast. And he was slow.
Absolutely. You ain't wrong.
Up under a snake's belly.
I guarantee you.
But the victory came and he quit.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Quit eating with us or what?
He quit eating with us. Yeah.
Oh, glory.
Well, we may have been the problem.
May have. I don't think so.
But any event, I remember us praying with him
And God sent the answer. But the answer he wanted was first to unify his people. And boy, I tell you what, when your folks get together in one accord, brother, it ain't nothing God can't do.
That's right.
And that's hard because most people don't look at it that way.
No.
Most of us like to think that we're smart enough. I know how to grow a church. I know how to do this.
I've read the book.
And we tend to leave God out. And that's the biggest problem, I think, in our Southern Baptist Convention today among churches. We've got churches throughout our convention that are plateaued. Many are declining. Baptisms are down. And you can't blame God.
Mm-hmm.
God's same as it's always been.
Absolutely.
The problem lies within the church where we're not really seeking God. We're not really wanting that relationship that we've been talking about.
We're not putting ourselves on the altar.
We like to have religion and we're kind of satisfied in it.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably right where Isaiah was.
Well,
how many times have I told y'all about the fella cutting down the tree, and a part of it he warmed himself.
A couple of weeks ago, and then
he said, "Well, I got a little wood left. I'm gonna make me a god."
That's right. Yeah.
Don't you think we try to make us some gods?
Sure.
Yeah, we try to manipulate God.
Well,
we're always looking for something new, something fresh, some new program that. Like you said, it worked over at Emmanuel, so, boy, I'll just go get, I'll bring that over here to New Salem.
Well, that's exactly what you found here in this group that we talked about there. He was telling them about what was going on up in Israel. Of course, Israel's reaction to it was they had the answer, but God's reaction was he put them in captivity. To the Assyrians.
That's right.
So you better watch what bunch you follow.
Exactly.
They may lead you off the cliff.
I'm telling you.
And the other night I went on a road, new road, and it was a little old dirt cutoff, and I was looking for that, and this place looked pretty open to me, so I said, well, I better gingerly turn my car. I turned my headlights over, and it wasn't nothing but a drop off that went from I say, I better reconsider.
Whoa, I don't believe
I turned. So if you follow the wrong crowd, now if there'd been a bunch of cars behind me and I'd have kept going, we'd all wound up down there like that old boy that advertised Liberty Mutual, and he'd push it all them cars down in that gully over there, parking them, and then one following the other one. Mm. You can't follow somebody that don't know where they're going. And if they haven't been with the Lord, and they don't know about serving him and walking with him and knowing what God's got in his mind and the way that God's going to work it, you're going to wind up in the wrong place. And a lot of people are suffering. Some of them are suffering because they followed the wrong people and been told the wrong thing. But how do you think we ought to, what ought to be a way of worshiping God in those verses there that he just read?
Well, first of all, he says to break the loose the bands of wickedness. In other words, that's to deliver folks from their sin.
Right.
You know, because that's what the New Testament with Paul.
How do we do that?
Oh my goodness! It that ought to be the central focus of everything we do. Is to loose people from the bondage of sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. Now you are free to do God's will.
Break every yoke.
Yeah, break every yoke. And
now, and one of the things, a lot of folks don't like this Church of the Highlands. I don't know their doctrine, but I know their ministry. And buddy boy, they are in the ministry.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
I mean big time, wonderfully, exactly right, Mike. And you know, when a church is doing that, I don't like their doctrine. I don't know their doctrine. I'm not going to criticize them for ministering because probably the doctrine that they're following is leading them in the ministry. And God's being honored through that.
Yeah.
And God is blessed through that. And so are the people who are involved in it. They are blessed in it. And I mean tremendously.
Yeah, amen.
I don't know anything about it either. I do have some questions about it, but if they're leading people to Jesus and they're meeting people's needs, pretty hard to criticize that.
Well, you know, the disciples wanted to criticize some of the others. Jesus said, you don't worry about them. He said, you go and do what I'm telling you to do, and I'll take care of them. That's the way I look at it. It's, you know, listen.
Yeah, mine too.
That's God's business, and if it's working and God's pleased, that's fine. I got a job to do. God's called me to serve here at New Salem. I've got that job to do. They've got their job to do, and they will answer just as I will answer to God for the job that I do in the work that he's called me to.
Right.
So that, to me, is where I come in on that issue.
Well, mine too. And Herschel mentioned a while ago, that somewhere, sometime, somebody started that kind of work.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then somebody picked up on it. And somebody else picked up on it. Somebody else picked up on it. And some of those, I'm sure, are not doing the things that they need to be doing or could be doing, I'll say.
You know what? There's some of them at New Salem that ain't doing what they could be doing, too.
Lots of them.
Shame on us.
At
Morris
Bridge.
Absolutely, shame on us. I agree with you, but it's true.
Well, how do we? I know Mike explained this about this wickedness taking people to Jesus and let him give to them his righteousness. But how do we undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free and breaking off the yokes? What, Brother Leonard? What do you think he's talking about there?
Well, I think what he really wants us to do is turn everything over to God, and we begin to help one another. When we see somebody that is oppressed and somebody that's under a burden, if there's any way that we can help that, I think we need to do that. I remember back in the early 80s, we were down in Geneva in a little old church. One Sunday morning, we had a lady came in, and she was a pretty good-sized lady. And I'm not being ugly or whatever. I'm just being honest. She had about 3 or 4 children with her. And when she walked in, when you got close to her, you know, I'm just, the only way I know to put it is she had an odor.
Yeah.
And some of our folks were kind of standoffish. And for some reason, my wife went over there and hugged on her and said, "We're so glad you're here.
We
just want you to know we love you." And she got to her first. And she hugged on her. And, you know, after she hugged on her, my wife kind of had an
unusual. Right.
But what she did, she let that lady know, "I love you.
Yeah, yeah.
And
absolutely,
I'm willing to smell like you
to
let you know I love you." And that lady, some of our ladies began to help her and help her kids, and she cleaned up, and she became a valuable member.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is, she was oppressed.
Right.
Her husband wasn't faithful, and he didn't come, and he didn't, you know, he drank. And so she was trying to find a way, and it worked out. So I think that's what we're supposed to do. I think we're supposed to not look down on people.
Right.
If they're oppressed, we don't need to oppress them more. We need to
lift them up.
Try to lift them out of that.
Bring them out.
That's what Jesus did.
Yeah, absolutely.
He walked where dirty people were and where publicans, they hated tax collectors. They were crooks. But Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Come on down. I'm going to your house today. I'm going to go up there and eat." I don't know what Zacchaeus had for the lunch. He had enough money that he cheated people out of.
He didn't have pig feet, did he?
No, I don't think so. And then there was Matthew. He was a tax collector, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah. And so those were unborn folks. They ain't going to have nothing to do with them kind of people. And they're not going to have anything to do with them ladies like you're talking about there. But that is what God is looking for us to be. That's true religion.
Well, that's what the church is. The church is the family of God ministering to the community until they become the family of God. And if you do that, you know, you have fulfilled what I really believe is the simple purpose that Christ intends for his church to have.
Hedges and highways.
What did he say about true religion is to visit the fatherless and the widows?
And their affliction?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Now, that kind of religion, although I hate that they've messed up the thought of religion to me because of that false religion aspect of it, but to visit the fatherless and the widows and to help meet needs, and y'all are real good up at New Salem, Mike, I know. There ain't no telling how much money y'all have been able to raise to help people.
There's a lot of folks,
right. A lot of people have been fed and clothes been put on people's back.
Sure.
But oftentimes we don't want to get our hands dirty out there anymore.
Right.
People, no on dirty, smelly people. But I was a dirty, smelly
guy. I mean. And to a lot of people out there in the world, they still look at me as being that way. But
yeah.
I love the Lord, and that's good enough.
That takes care of me. Well, there's another side of that, too. Now, when we're talking about God's response, what does verse 7 say there? And we've talked all around it, but to deal thy bread to the hungry.
Share your bread with the hungry. If somebody's hungry, share your bread.
I heard about this church that prayed for this man, that this woman had children and didn't have a husband, or the husband had died. And so the deacons of the church said, I tell you what, let's meet and pray. So they met at her house, and they prayed, and after a while they heard heavy boots walking up on the porch and come in. And so then they raised their head up and looked, and one deacon didn't show up, but here was his son, and he had a basket, and he had a ham, and had some more stuff in it. He told the others, said, I'm sorry Daddy couldn't come to the prayer meeting, but he sent me over here with a ham. What do you think? Which one pleased God the most?
I think one sent ham.
And I believe in praying, and I believe in praying fervently. But if you can send him a ham, go ahead and send it and then pray for him. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Then he says, bring the poor to your house.
Right.
Oh, Lord. Now, wait a minute now.
That's going too far.
Now, wait a minute. You take the poor and the people that's cast out and bring them to your house. I remember, Brown, you remember too. It was not easy one time. There was an old boy that had been cast out. And none of the Christian community wanted to have anything to do with that old boy. And I just felt God said, you go get him and bring him to your house. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to, because you told me to, and I did. And there was some pretty good criticism for it. But old Brown stepped up the plate, and he helped me out. And we began to try to help the old boy find a place to live and somebody to be able to minister to his needs. Sometimes it's not easy. Very seldom is it easy.
Sin drags people to mighty low depths, but who, if the Christian, the people of God, don't lift them up, who is?
Oh, that's true.
Who is?
Absolutely.
And y'all bring me back to that old boy over at Hardy's that day.
Yeah.
Had me laying down on the ground
yeah.
on my knees praying with him. I mean, he was embracing me. I was taking some of the smell of him back in the car.
No doubt.
And
I'll bet you God was honored with that prayer on your knees.
Without a doubt.
Much or more than any you ever prayed.
Without a doubt.
So, folks, listen, Christianity is different from religion, and it is not a showy-off kind of thing. It's a go-do-it, whether folks brag on you or see you or know you've done it or not. Just go do it.
I was talking about that old boy a minute ago. I'll never forget the look on my wife's face when I drove up in the yard and I got him. And I just laughing with him, treating him just like I would.
Sure.
And loving him. And she looked at me and she frowned. The closer we got to the house, the deeper the creases of that frown got to her forehead. But she had cooked a good lunch. I mean, she'd cooked that old good southern cornbread and corn and peas. And I'm telling you, did that old boy sit down there and eat? I'm talking about like he ain't never eaten before. He had been on the street. He had been cast out. But anyway, that never ceases to amaze me when I think about just how he absorbed. Sometimes take the ham to him, but sometimes bring him to the ham and set him down and feed him and say, hey, we love you, and pray with him and help him get a start.
Well, and he'll never forget that.
He'll never forget that.
No.
Never, never, never.
And if a fella is hungry and you start talking to him about the Lord, and the Lord bless you, brother, and Lord, he died for you, get him fed first.
That's right.
Let me tell you something about When I was in school, I stayed at Caryville Baptist Church for 3 years while I was in school at Baptist Bible Institute. We was right on the railroad track, and the hobos, and I'll call them bums,
yeah,
that's what they were.
Yeah.
Word got out that we were there. And I promise you, they told one another.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. Where to go.
Yeah, buddy.
And we had them hand over fist.
Yeah.
And they would come, and they always showed up around mealtime.
Mm-hmm. Conveniently.
And conveniently, yes. And we'd feed them. And if we had anything left over, they'd put it in their pockets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Bread.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they'd carry bread away. Rolls, they'd carry rolls away. That Patsy cooked and cooked and cooked for those that were traveling through, either on Highway 90, hitchhiking, or either bums on the railroad,
right,
that would get off when the train come through slow enough. They'd get off. And we'd have to feed them.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a ministry.
It was.
That we tried to take advantage of, and every last one of them heard the gospel before they left.
Yeah, buddy. That's good. That's what it's about.
All right. That is a very important part of the gospel.
Amen.
It's telling them about the Lord Jesus. Well, let's get that third...
Eight through 11.
Verses 8 through 11, Isaiah 58. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and the putting forth of the finger, and speak in vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not.
Does it pay to serve Jesus? The song says it pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. Isn't that the promise given to us that if we forget the religion thing and remember the relation thing and serve people in the name of Jesus, because that's the way he wants us to serve, then there is a true blessing and a true reward for that.
Well, that's what the Lord's telling us. You know, if you want a formula right now, as I sit here talking to you personally, if you want a formula that says, how can I get God's blessing in my life, then you read that scripture over again. He put it real simply. If you take away from you the yoke, get the yoke of sin out of your life,
mm-hmm,
quit pointing fingers at everybody, mm-hmm, else and talking lies and vanity about everybody, and then if you draw your soul out to the hungry, If you sacrifice for others until it hurts in your own life, satisfy the afflicted soul, God says, I promise you. He doesn't say it might happen. And he says, then shall your light rise and your darkness be gone. And the Lord will guide you continually and he'll satisfy your soul. And then he says, they'll make fat your bones,
mm-hmm,
and they'll be like a watered garden,
mm-hmm,
like a spring of water whose waters never stop flowing. And didn't he call us a wellspring of living water?
He did.
Amen.
That the water flows from us, the living water.
Mike?
That's it.
If me and you would do more of that, we wouldn't be as big.
He said he'd make your bones fat.
Well, he said he'd make your bones fat, but...
Maybe you've been doing too much.
I got more fat than bones. Anyway.
Well, listen, this ain't time for confession.
No.
But listen, give God that place in your life. Remember to love him and serve him. is what God requires of you. And your life will be full of glory and joy. Thank you for listening to us. Join us next week.